You're listening to the Intuitive Strength Podcast, and I'm your host, Bree Ogletree. I'm an online fitness coach teaching women how to use strength training and nutrition to build a body they love, but I'm also a strong believer in holistic wellness, which includes all aspects of your life. While this podcast is heavily focused on fitness and nutrition, we'll also dive into other topics that attribute to total wellness to include mental health, financial health, relationships, and stress management, to name a few. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, and welcome back to the Intuitive Strength Podcast. If you're new here, welcome. I hope you are having a fantastic week. It is Sunday currently, so I spent the weekend doing a paint project for my parents. So I am currently repainting pretty much the entire house for them. And I just started my project this weekend. And I didn't get very far. I got the hallway done and I still have to go back and do touch-ups, which is fine. I actually enjoy painting. It's very cathartic for me and very relaxing. So I listen to my podcasts and things when I'm painting. So I do enjoy it. It is time consuming. But that's how I spent my weekend. I hope you are having a fabulous weekend and you're doing something fun. This week, we are going to talk about how to create your most effective workouts yet. So this is pretty much the rundown of how I program my workouts for my Thrive clients, for my private clients, that I've tested over the years, that I've gone through myself. And the setup that I'm about to teach you is really how I've, created my own personal transformation over the last 10 years, but it is how I help my clients get results too. So definitely tune in if you are kind of lost when it comes to figuring out the gym, or you're just looking for a more efficient way to work out. Maybe you are going to the gym right now, but you don't really have a game plan. This episode is definitely for you. If you are brand new to working out and you're like, I don't even know where to start, this episode is definitely for you as well. And what I will say before I get into the actual meat of the episode is I do have a free workout template that lays all of this out for you in pretty good detail. It's a simple template, but it's everything that I'm going to talk about today. Just think of this as like your more in-depth detailed guide to that template, but you can grab that template at train.breeogletree.com/lift. It's completely free. You just put your name and email in, and I'll send that right over to you. If you want to pause this episode real quick and just go grab it, I think just having the visual of like everything laid out may be helpful to you if you're more of like a visual learner like I am. But I'm pretty much going to be running through that template, why things are the way they are, and why I program the way I program and what makes it the most effective. So definitely grab that if you're interested in having a visual example as we go through the episode. Also, if you have not yet, be sure to subscribe to the channel wherever you're listening or watching the video. I post on YouTube, I post on Spotify, as well as all of the podcasting apps that are available, the popular ones anyway. Make sure that you are subscribed so that you do not miss an episode. And if you find this helpful and you think there's someone out there, a friend, a family member who could benefit from hearing this information, definitely be sure to send this episode to them as well. Okay, so the topic today, how to create the most effective workouts yet. I created this template specifically because a lot of the feedback that I've received from people just talking about working out and getting in shape and things over the years is they're not sure what to do or where to start. So that's what the template is for. It's going to give you guidelines on, what to focus on, when to do certain exercises and things. And yeah, I find that this is a big struggle point for a lot of women, and not knowing what to do often leads to overwhelm. It often leads to feeling intimidated when you go into the gym because you're not sure kind of like where to direct your attention or what exercises to focus on or even what spaces to be in. But having a plan, I assure you, will eliminate probably more than half of that overwhelm or that intimidation that you're feeling. I always highly recommend that no matter what stage in your journey that you're in, whether you're just getting started or you've been lifting for a while or working out for a while, having a plan is just gonna make it so much easier for you to accomplish what you want to accomplish in the gym. And it's also going to take away some of those feelings, again, of not being sure, of being a little insecure in the gym, possibly being overwhelmed in the gym, not knowing where to start, all those things. When you have a concrete plan going into that space, you know exactly where to go, exactly what equipment that you need. You're prepared, right? And you use your time more efficiently when you have a plan. So I cannot stress or emphasize that enough or recommend that enough, that having a plan is automatically going to get you better results. Just because you're using your time more efficiently, you have an aim or you have guidance when you go into the gym. So it's very intentional when you're there, what you're doing, what you're working on. You can track progress along the way, especially if you are keeping track of, you know, the weight selections, the things that you're doing in the gym. So you're automatically going to see better results if you have a plan and you're recording your progress. So I will get off my soapbox for now, but that's the first thing that I want you to know, that having a plan is going to automatically give you better results in the gym. Again, free template available, train.briogleshree.com/lift. Definitely go grab that if you don't have a plan right now. We're about to walk through it step by step together so you know exactly what you need to do when you go to the gym. Or if you're working out at home, you can definitely, you know, create a plan for yourself at home as well. So there are several different parts to the template. Just as a quick overview, there is at the top, if I can remember, I don't have it right in front of me, but there is like a few prompts for like what your goals actually are. So if you have like a fat loss goal, if you have, you're just trying to get stronger, if you're trying to put on muscle mass, there's some guidance on there in terms of like reps and sets and things, as well as with conditioning as well. So make sure that you go over that and just kind of like know what your focus is going to be for this training template to help direct your training a little bit more. But the workout plan itself is broken down into your warm-up section. So your mobility warm-up, maybe some light cardio if you feel better doing a little bit of cardio before you lift. Then there's going to be your power development. And then you're going to get into your strength supersets. And then at the very end is going to be conditioning, if you choose to do conditioning on the same day. So that's kind of the overview of what we're going to go over, but I'm going to break it down section by section for you, why we want to be doing these types of exercises and why we want to be doing them in this order, so that you can kind of understand why this is probably the most effective way to structure your workouts. So overall, and with that overview, obviously the focus is strength training. Strength training is the focus of my entire platform. My whole mission in life is to get women to lift heavier, to lift weights, right, regularly. And the reason for that is because we see the results that we want to see when we strength train. And there's so many health benefits as well to lifting weights. You see improved immunity, your women see better pregnancies, women are suffering less from things like osteoporosis or osteopenia as they get older and reach menopause age or perimenopause. We see improvements in mood, in our mental health as well. There's so many benefits to strength training. On the fitness side of things, we are seeing better results with our workouts physically. So if you're looking for a physique change, if you're trying to change your physique, physical changes in your body, strength training is going to be a really core component to seeing those changes. Yes, nutrition and what you're doing outside of the gym is also equally important, but strength training should be the core of what you're doing if you're looking to see some type of physique change. Okay, so getting into the actual template, the first piece is going to be your warm-up piece. The first piece of the workout plan is going to be your warm-up. So this is where you're going to be doing mobility exercises specific to what you're doing in your workouts. In Thrive, and I'm just going to use Thrive as an example throughout this whole episode just because it's easy to reference, I typically do a full body mobility warm-up that kind of touches pretty much all of our bases. So we're looking at hip mobility, ankle mobility, maybe some neck, wrist stuff. If we're squatting that day, you'll probably see some type of squat focus mobility exercise. If we're doing a deadlift that day, you'll probably see more of like a hinge type mobility warm-up exercise in there. So I do, depending on the lifts that we're doing that day, I do specify like one or two of the exercises, but generally I'm doing like a well-rounded full body warm-up, making sure that those joints and muscles are ready to go for when you do your lifting session. Some people like to do light cardio in their warm-up, maybe like 5 to 10 minutes on the treadmill, maybe a nice brisk walk or even jog to just warm their body up. It really is going to depend on you and what and how you feel best warming up. Light cardio is an option. You don't have to do it, but I highly definitely recommend doing mobility exercises before you get into your lifting sessions. It's just a way of letting your body know, hey, I am about to do some physical activity here, a little strenuous. Just get ready to go. Just kind of, you know, warms your muscles up. Obviously, it's going to increase your core body temperature, just get your body primed for exercise. So I do not recommend skipping a warm-up. Do not ever skip a warm-up. This skipping a warm-up can lead to injury. It can lead to a suboptimal training session. It can lead to poor recovery on the back end. So if you are short on time, I would highly recommend that you get at least a few exercises in on the warm-up before you get to your lift sessions. I believe on the template there is guidance on what to do if you're short on time. So if you don't have, you know, 45 minutes to an hour to get in a workout session, it's pretty much like what to do in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes sort of thing. I'm pretty sure it's on the template. If not, let me know. I can break that down for you in a different episode to give you guidance on that. But I highly recommend doing a warm-up every single time you lift just to give your body the chance to warm up your muscles, to prime them for heavier lifting in your workout sessions. Okay. So like I said, in Thrive, we do more of a well-rounded full body warm-up session. Pretty much all Thrive workouts are full body. So I just make sure to hit all of our bases and then focus specifically on an exercise or two that is specifically going to help you out in that workout. So I highly recommend that you do that as well. The next session is going to be power development. Now, power development can be many different things, but the whole purpose of power development is, I like to think of this, and I've been taught this in my career, as more of an extension to your warm up. So you are priming your central nervous system for more exercise, for more rigorous exercise. So this is really going to fire up those neurons, those electrical connections in your body. It's going to have your brain talk to your muscles more efficiently, right? So you can think of it that way. It's just an extension of what you did in your warm up. You're just waking your muscles up even more. And it also is going to help, again, with power. So if you are an athlete, for example, if you play, let's say, soccer or flag football or something like that, it's just going to make you more of an explosive athlete. You might train some type of agility or coordination in this piece of the workout. It really just depends on what your goals are. In Thrive, we kind of do a variety of different things. So you might see something like an Olympic lift or a variation of an Olympic lift. We might do it with like a kettlebell or dumbbell. So we might do like a dumbbell clean, a kettlebell clean, something like that. You might also see something like medicine ball work. So medicine ball slams or lateral tosses against a wall. But the whole premise behind power development is, again, to prime your nervous system for those heavier lifts, and also make you a better mover overall, make you a more explosive mover. We are developing our power here. Another application for power development I always like to think of, and I'm not sure why my mind goes here all the time, but because I'm 33 years old, but I think about getting older and like falls, for example. training power is a great way to prevent things like slips and falls. It doesn't even have to be when you're older. It could be if there's ice on the ground, for example, and you go and you do have a little slip, you start sliding on the ice, right? How quickly can you recover from that slip? So that's a good example to think about when it comes to developing power as well. Someone who develops power, for example, may be able to react better to something like slipping on ice than someone who has not. So just real world application, something to think about when it comes to power development. But we can train power development in the upper body. We can train power development in lower body. Other than cleans and snatches and things, you can, again, medicine ball work is a great way to train power. Kettlebell swings are another way to train power, mostly lower body. You can do things like vertical jumps, box jumps. In terms of upper body, you can do a medicine ball chest pass, or you can do a TRX power pull, just listing exercises. There's a lot of different things you can do, but the whole premise of this is to prime the nervous system. In Thrive, we do, again, a variety of things just to get to cover all our bases and just become well-rounded movers, better movers, and develop power in all aspects. So upper body, lower body, total body, things like that. When I do pick power development exercises, I do try to think about what we're doing in the workout. How is this exercise going to help me with the lifts that we're doing in the workout? Because again, this is an extension of our warm-up. We're priming our central nervous system, getting our muscles fired up and ready to go, so they fire more efficiently when we're lifting heavy things. So that is something that I consider. But again, we do a well-rounded variety of exercises when it comes to power development. Okay, so that's your second section. On the template as well, there's examples of all of these different sections and different exercises that you can choose. It is like just like Thrive, it's a choose your own adventure. So in Thrive, I do give several options as well, depending on what the goal of the power development section is. So for example, if I program a box squat, you might also see just like a squat jump, or a seated, you know, if you start seated and then you jump up from there, or just an explosive sit to stand if you don't want to do high intensity or high impact. But there are tons of options for you to do power development. If you are short on time, this is usually a section that you could probably skip and be okay. So I would recommend whatever lifts that you do for the day that you are getting in some warm-up sets there, just to make sure that you are warm enough to lift some heavier weights. Okay. So after power development is going to come your strength supersets. So in Thrive, we do three of these. So there's three different supersets, and supersets are just exercises that you do. It's two exercises that you do back to back. So you'll do one exercise and go right to the next exercise before you rest. So very minimal rest in between exercises. And you can do same muscle group exercises, or you can do different muscle group exercises. You can also program more like prehab type stuff with these supersets as well. It really depends on what your goal is for the session, right? If you're going for strength, right, and you want to focus most of your energy and attention to whatever that lift is, say you're squatting, for example, you may want to go light on that second superset exercise, or you may want to do more of like a mobility or prehab exercise, depending on what your goal is, right? It really depends on what your goal is. But there's really no wrong answer here. It just, again, it depends on what your goal is. So in Thrive, we do a variety of different things here. Most of the time I'm programming upper and lower body because it gives the other muscle group a little bit more time to recover, especially if it's like a compound lift and it's very fatiguing. But again, we do a variety of things within Thrive. The reason we do supersets is for, number one, time efficiency. So because you're jumping back to back with exercises, it's eliminating a little bit of time with your rest periods. So it's condensing the workout session a little bit shorter. So if time is an issue or if it's, you know, something that you're worried about, doing supersets can be a great way to eliminate or to condense your workout time and give you a little bit of a faster workout and still an effective workout too. It also eliminates like waiting in between sets, those long rest periods, as especially if you go like an upper body to a lower body exercise, it's pretty easy to really jump from one exercise to the next. So you're eliminating the amount of time that you're resting. Some people get antsy during rest periods. They don't want to rest very long. So this can be a way to mentally, you know, get through your workout a little bit more efficiently. And then again, like I said, you could do same muscle groups. You can do different muscle groups, upper body, lower body, or, you know, upper body, lower body, lower body. It really depends on what your goals are. Usually with the strength supersets, I do the first superset is usually the most fatiguing exercise, which is more than likely going to be a compound lift. So in Thrive, for example, you'll have your squats. So if we're squatting that day, your squats are always going to be first because it's the most fatiguing exercise. You're using multiple muscle groups. It's really a total body exercise. So I always make sure to put that first. So that we can get that over with and then worry about, you know, the isolation exercises and things or the exercises that aren't, you're not necessarily going as heavy, or that are just less fatiguing overall. I do those after that fatiguing set, if that makes sense. So I usually program compound exercises first, just for a fatigue factor. So we don't want to be doing tons of isolation exercises and then trying to squat, for example, because it's just going to make your squat strength less efficient. It's going to make your squat performance less efficient. Yeah. Again, it all is going to depend on your goals, but I find that this, you're going to get the most out of your workouts when a strength perspective, from a results perspective, from a performance perspective, you're going to get better results out of your workouts if you do those more fatiguing exercises first. So that first superset is usually the most fatiguing exercise, which is usually a compound lift. So a squat, bench, deadlift, pull-up seats are always programmed first. I do the second superset in the way I program, so in Thrive, or if you're following along on the template, it's usually accessory exercises. So they're going to have at least one accessory exercise to support your compound lift in that first superset. And then usually some variation of upper lower body. So it's going to be like an upper and lower body exercise. The final superset that is programmed is usually going to be isolation and core exercises. Now, again, I save them for the end for the reason that I just explained. Your compound exercises are going to be the most fatiguing exercises. So we want to do those first so that we get the best performance in those exercises and then worry about those isolation exercises next. Because in isolation exercises, you're really focused on one, maybe two muscle groups max. They're going to be a lot less fatiguing than a compound exercise. Your core is important as well. You're probably training your core a little bit in those compound lifts at the beginning, but we save more focused core work towards the end because core can usually take a lot of volume. So again, we just want to save those to the end because it's the compound lifts that are going to be the most fatiguing. So here is where you can get a little bit creative and you can get a little bit more focused. So if you are looking to grow your glutes or build your glutes, you can focus more on glute training in isolation, in those isolation exercises. If you want to build your shoulders or build your biceps, for example, you could focus on those exercises here. When it comes to core training, you want to make sure that we're doing a well-rounded core training program. So we're not just doing crunches and sit-ups, right? Your core, think of your core as a 360 all the way around your torso. So we want to make sure we're training all of those muscle groups. So when it comes to core training, you just want to make sure that you're getting a variety of different core exercises. So you're doing rotation, anti-rotation, extension, anti-extension, bilateral flexion. We're doing carries, marches, things like that. Things that your core would normally support, right? And also exercises that are going to help, again, you should get stronger in those compound lifts in the beginning. So yeah, the isolation and core is usually saved for the end of a strength focused workout. Okay, so that is kind of the rundown of the like strength focus portion of the workout. At the very, very end, there's also conditioning. So with Thrive and, you know, with the way I program, I either recommend doing a short conditioning workout at the end, just as like a finisher to finish out your workout strong, also get some cardiovascular benefits, or get some, you know, added, you know, hypertrophy work in if that's your goal, if you're trying to put on muscle mass or change your body composition in any way. But you can also do this on a different day as well. It's just going to depend on your training plan. If you're, you know, training 3-4 days a week, 2 days a week, whatever, it's just going to depend on that when you're going to do your conditioning. But conditioning can be, again, a variety of different things. It can be a short HIIT workout. It can be moderate intensity cardio, so like a jog or running on the treadmill. It can be elliptical work. It could be hypertrophy work, so more isolation exercises for a particular area. It really just depends, again, on what your goal is. In Thrive, we do, again, a variety of these things. We do all of them at different frequencies. You'll probably see, because Thrive is a 3 day per week program, you're going to see probably hypertrophy work one day, a HIIT style workout or something similar one day, and then moderate intensity cardio the next day as your options. Whether or not you do them on the same day is going to depend on how much time you have. That's going to make the workout longer if you do it on the same day. And it's also going to depend on what your goals are again. In terms of sets and reps, I definitely want to touch on this when it comes to your workouts as well, because I've seen some plans like for the everyday person that are like, between 5 and 10 sets of, you know, a strength focused exercise. And I, as a coach, I personally strongly believe that you do not need to be doing any more than 4 sets of a particular exercise to get what you want to get out of the exercise. I think it at that point, it's kind of overkill. So in Thrive, you won't ever really see anything more than 4 sets. And I usually only do 4 sets in the first superset where you're doing the compound lift. The rest of those supersets are usually 3 sets because, again, you don't need to crush yourself when you're working out in order to get the results that you want to get. There's something called the minimum dose effect. And I am going to extend on this next week. That's my plan anyway. It might change. I don't know. I was going to do a short episode on a minimum dose effect, but it's basically the minimum that you have to do to get the results that you want to get. Okay. So that is the goal here. We don't want to be exercising ourselves to death. For many reasons. Number one, it's going to stress out your body and probably increase your cortisol levels. It's going to make it harder for you to recover. Staying in the gym for, you know, 2+ hours is no fun for anybody, especially because by that point, you're probably going to be super exhausted. So in terms of sets and reps, I say anywhere between 2 to 4 sets is plenty. It really depends on your fitness level and kind of where you're at. And then in terms of reps, I would also say vary them. So if you're doing in Thrive, we kind of follow more of like a linear plan. So we'll start higher volume. So we'll do sets of 12, sets of 10. And we slowly over the months decrease those weights for, especially for the compound lifts. The whole goal here is to get stronger, but also to keep your body adapting to the training that you're doing. So if you're doing the same sets and reps month after month after month after month, and the same exercises, your body is going to get used to doing that. Thrive has a goal of helping you create physique changes and also help you get stronger, so become a stronger, better mover. We do this by varying the sets and reps and the exercises that we're doing in the training plan. So I highly recommend that you do this too. If you're, you know, programming your own workouts, don't go into the gym and do the same exercises after month, the same sets and the same reps. After, you know, month 2, month 3, maybe you're probably going to plateau if you do that. So varying this from month to month, you can follow a linear plan, like knock a couple of reps each month. Change up your exercises every 4 to 8 weeks max so that you continue creating progress for yourself and making progress. And you get stronger too. And you continue, again, making progress in the gym and getting the results that you want to get. So if you don't include the warm-up exercises, 5 workouts are 7 exercises. We only do 7 max in terms of our lifting. And that is really, truly all you need. You probably could get away with doing less if you wanted to. Yeah, that is pretty much what we do in Thrive. We do 7 core exercises or foundational exercises or strength focused exercises per workout session. So there's no need to go in there and do a million different exercises and stay in the gym for like hours in order for the workouts to be effective. Okay? Workouts, in order for them to be effective, they have to be varied. They have to be the right amount of volume and weight selection. So we didn't go over weight selection. So you want to make sure that you're choosing exercises that are, or weights that are challenging for you. They're challenging, but they're doable. So you get to the end of your set and you could maybe do one or two more reps if you wanted to. But just make sure that your weight selections are challenging. If it's an exercise where you're holding a position, like an isometric exercise where you're holding a position for a certain amount of time, make sure that amount of time is challenging for you, but doable. And be really honest with yourself here, because this is where your progress is made, right? We want to make sure that our workouts are challenging, but we also want to make sure that they're doable and that we're able to recover from them too. That's important too. And that's a piece that I feel like a lot of people leave out or don't think about. We want to make sure that we recover well from those sessions so that we can continue showing up for those subsequent sessions. So yeah, so hopefully this wasn't all over the place. I feel like sometimes I talk in circles, but I'm just going to summarize real quick for you. So the first piece is the warm-up. So make sure you're getting in a good mobility warm-up that is specific or somewhat specific to the lifts that you're going to be doing that day. If you want to do light cardio, that's an option as well. I personally don't do light cardio before I start my lifts, but I do always make sure that I get in a mobility workout, even if I'm only doing like a 20-minute session, right? The next thing that you want to focus on is power development. So this is an extension of your warm-up. It's going to prime your central nervous system, turn on your muscles, if you will, and yeah, just get you ready for your lifts. This is also a great place to do more technical work. So if you're into Olympic lifting, like snatch and clean and jerk, this is the perfect time to do that. You're going to train power, but it's also, it's very fatiguing on the nervous system. So you definitely want to make sure that you're doing that first. The next section is going to be your strength supersets. Again, your supersets are going to help with time efficiency. It's going to eliminate some of that wait time in between sets. You can do same muscle groups, you can do different muscle groups, upper body, lower body. You can do a compound lift and more of like a prehab exercise or a mobility exercise, and just depends on your goals. That first superset is going to be probably, well, what I recommend is that first superset be a compound lift. Again, those are the most fatiguing exercises. So squat, bench, deadlift, pull-ups, things like that. I highly recommend putting in that first superset. Your next superset is going to be a supporting exercise for whatever your compound lift was that day, and then probably some other exercise. One thing that I didn't mention was putting in single leg exercises too. So you have, you know, your squat, your hinge, your upper body pull, upper body push, and core. But making sure we're doing single leg, single arm variations. That second superset is a great place to put some single leg, single arm variations of those exercises. And then your last superset is going to be isolation exercises and core exercises. Again, isolation exercises, you're focused usually on one muscle group, glutes, shoulders, biceps, triceps, things like that. That is where you want to put, if you want to put an emphasis in a certain area, that's where I would put that towards the end. Core, just making sure you're getting a well-rounded core program, that 360 training your entire torso, right? Making sure that we're doing that there. And then conditioning at the very end. And again, that's going to depend on your goals. In Thrive, we do a well-rounded approach to this. So you're going to see hypertrophy work, you're going to see HIIT workouts, you're going to see some just basic cardio stuff. But again, it depends on your goals. And then just making sure that you're varying your sets and reps. Your sets, usually anywhere between 2 to 4 sets, depending on where you're at in your journey, is plenty, in my opinion. And just making sure that you're varying your reps as well. So you're going a little bit heavier some months and then a little bit lighter with a little bit more volume some months, to keep your body progressing and keep seeing results. So hopefully that was helpful. Hopefully that makes sense. If you have follow-up questions, please let me know. This is how I've been programming for almost 10 years now, based off of what I've learned being coached myself, what I've learned through certifications. Yeah, just coaching people. I find that this is the most effective way to train, especially when it comes to lifting weights. So if you have follow-up questions, I'd love to hear from you. You can shoot me a message here. I think there's a link below to send a voice message. You can also hit me up on Instagram at Bree Ogletree. I'd love to continue to hear how you're doing in the gym or hear about your workouts, what you're currently up to. But if you did find this helpful, please be sure to like and subscribe for more. And also be sure to share this episode with someone who you think would find it valuable, right? That is it for this week. I thank you again for tuning in, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.